I feel a little bit frustrated this morning because I'm looking at all these beautiful children and I'm thinking I've got a wonderful junior church class that I would otherwise be doing if it wasn't my turn to be giving the message this morning. So I do hope you guys come back again so that we can go to the hall and have a junior church. But I hope that there will be something in what I'm going to say today that will be relevant to the children here as well as to the rest of us. Now, the title that I've got this morning is called Chosen, and it is this has been kind of brewing in my mind for a few weeks now. When I came back from America, I spoke that next Sunday. I had sort of quick succession of it being my turn because Rob had been away, and I've just finished quite a chunk of time where I haven't had to prepare a message, so I've had longer to be kind of mulling over the thoughts for what I felt the Lord wanted me to talk about today. And I'm kind of hoping that with the numbers that we've got today that this is something that will speak to your hearts. So I would like you to think about, if you would, whether any of you have any kind of a clear memory of a time when you weren't chosen, when you weren't chosen. I think looking at the children, I'm very conscious, and I'm a school teacher. There is a very painful experience for children when, for example, when teams are being chosen, and normally team captains are selected first, and then all the other children are out there, and then the team captains say, well, I'll have you, and the other one says, well, I'll have you, and I'll have you, and I'll have you, and then there are always those last one or two children that are left that nobody has chosen. And it's such a painful, painful thing. And I don't know if any of you have found yourself in that situation. But as we get older, we have situations like that where perhaps you weren't chosen for a job that you'd interviewed for, that you really, really wanted. Or, you know, you weren't chosen to be on a team that you wanted to be on. Or you weren't chosen by anyone to be their date for a school dance or a prom. I don't know, that proms are a more recent thing, I suppose. Some of us perhaps didn't have proms. But that whole idea of not being chosen hits very hard on the heart of most human beings. And some people, sadly, do actually live their entire lives feeling as though they're never good enough to be chosen. Rejection after rejection can seriously erode our sense of self-worth, leaving us feeling unloved and unlovable, and perhaps even invisible. There's clearly something in our wiring as human beings that causes us to desire being special. We want to be chosen. We want to know that we matter to others. We want to know that someone cares about us and makes us a priority in their lives. We want to be liked. We want to be loved. I've been trying my best recently to counsel my youngest daughter as she's been wrestling with frustration that she feels in her relationship with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend is a really good guy. I mean, I like him a lot, but he's 24 and he's still a bit of a kid at heart. He prioritizes his football team and his friends, and he's loyal to his father and his stepmother. But my daughter feels that she's rarely chosen as more important than other people in his life. She feels that given the choice between going out with her or playing football for the team, the team wins every time. Her words of despair to me have been, I just want him to choose me. From the sidelines, I can see what she's doing and why he's reacting as he is. She's overwhelming him, I think pretty clearly. She wants him to be ready to get married, to buy a house, to start a family, and he simply isn't there yet. We cannot force people to choose us. They either do or they don't. It's true that people will go to great lengths to manipulate others to choose them, and sometimes this creates the immediate result that they're looking for. People can falsify their CV to make themselves look like the best candidate for a job. They can create an online version of themselves to make themselves look attractive and desirable so that they will be chosen for a relationship. They can use subtle emotional blackmail to force people to choose them over others. Parents can do this to their children. Partners can do it to each other. Friends can do it to one another. This manipulation and control will only ever end in some form of disaster or create a toxic relationship. As I reflect on my own life and watch my children as they navigate theirs, I can see so clearly that the only way we can ever be freed from the need to be chosen by other humans is to have a clear knowledge and belief in the fact that we are chosen by God. The concept of being chosen runs right through Scripture. God chooses Adam and Eve as the starting point for the human race. From there, we follow the stories of people God has chosen from generation to generation, many of them very unlikely candidates for being identified as special, who become part of God's ultimate plan, which came through His Son, a plan that allows everyone to be chosen as being special and desirable to God. You look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The prophets in the Old Testament spoke consistently of a day when all mankind would be able to enter into a special relationship with God that is intimate and personal, and where our sins would be forgiven directly by Him, not through an elaborate system of animal sacrifice. We look at Jeremiah 31:34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord." For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And this truth is picked up by the writer of Hebrews in chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Thousands of years of God's preparation through the lives of chosen individuals have paved the way for us all to become chosen. Once we're able to live our lives here on earth from a position of confidence in being chosen and fully loved by God, we become freed from the need to be chosen by other human beings. Jesus Himself was able to endure the rejection and pain He suffered on earth because He understood that He was chosen and loved by His Father. We're reminded of this in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. And then in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All of mankind, since the time of Christ's death and resurrection, have been and currently are being pursued in love as chosen and highly prized individuals by God through Christ. The whole point of the Son of God coming to earth to live and die and then be resurrected from the dead was to allow each one of us to enter into a personal relationship with God as his special chosen one. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 paints the picture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. He has chosen us. And without him choosing us, we would not be able to choose him. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures here. First from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Through his Spirit, God speaks to our hearts and awakens us to the reality of his existence and to the truth of his great love for us. It is this perfect love for us that enables us to choose him back and accept that love. Again, I'm just going to read three scriptures in succession here. The first one from 1 John 4, verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then verse 19 from the same chapter. We love him because he first loved us. And finally from John 6, verses 44 and 45, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. God takes a huge risk in loving us as he does. He risks rejection. One of the most painful experiences of the heart is that of unrequited love. Love that is not reciprocated. So much of the Old Testament story is presented in the context of God as the one who loves and man as the one who is not interested. Time after time, God forgives the children of Israel and asks them to return the love to him that he has shown them. And time again, they look elsewhere for love and validation. God's broken heart, caused by man's unwillingness and inability to choose him, fueled his plan for our salvation. It was his great love for us that caused him to send his Son, providing a once and for all solution to the problem of our separation from him. He has chosen us, but we still have to choose him. We cannot experience the comfort and joy of an intimate relationship with him unless we opt in to that relationship. We live our lives here on this earth constantly at risk of rejection by other human beings. People fall into all forms of unhealthy behaviors and self-beliefs as they deal with their need to be chosen, to be seen as special by at least one other human being. Unfortunately, the people in our lives whom we want to value us and choose us are also struggling with their own needs. It's hard to be there for others when you are so needy yourself. Once we understand that we are chosen, and that God loves us perfectly, we no longer need to fear rejection. If our confidence is in our relationship with the God of this universe, who loves us and values us and rejoices over us, we can let go of our neediness in our human relationships. We are chosen for this life and for the life to come. He will never reject us or forsake us. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And finally, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 to 16. But Zion and the children of Israel said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. And God replies, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Dear Heavenly Father, I sense that this is a shorter message than I tend to give, Lord, but I feel the message, I hope, is clear, and the truth is that we are all highly prized, highly valued, highly loved individuals that you have chosen and you want to be with you for eternity. I ask, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will work in hearts to help them recognize the truth that you exist and the truth that you love each individual as a very special chosen person. We thank you that you have asked your Son to come to this earth to live out a life of pain and death so that we can be restored to eternal life with you. We thank you in that Son's very precious and holy name. Amen.